Who knows more about Munster rugby, me or you, Quinny?
Everyone has an opinion, don't they? Some of the opinions are waffle, but I'd like to think I know a lot.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
Will O'Callaghan is with us. Will has been appointed as our amateur cephalologist, our resident John King. We're crunching the numbers, Will.
We are, and there's still a lot of ground, lads, that still has to be decided over the next while, particularly that meeting of the Ulster counties last evening in Armagh, where it's believed that the secretary and chairpersons, who are going to be likely delegates for this Saturday for the counties involved, met with the Ulster Council to discuss a range of issues, but among them were the motions coming up this Saturday, including Proposal B, and then it emerged overnight that it looks like Down are now going to turn green, which is perhaps a little bit of a surprise. A lot of county board meetings were taking place last evening, so we've been able to chart a map so far about where counties are intending to vote ahead of Saturday. Now, before we start with the Greens, you look at the blues that are on the map which we have drawn up, and they're the counties who are going to have a free vote going into Saturday, which I think is significant because in those counties, the reasoning given, at least by Kerry and by Laois, Waterford, it was their delegates who decided to leave an option of a free vote available for their delegates for this weekend, is that they're waiting to see what actually hits the Congress floor. And if reports are to be believed, Proposal A may well be pulled even before it hits the floor for this weekend. And there is the potential, at least according to the Laois chairman, Peter O'Neill, who spoke yesterday about Laois's position, that there may well be amendments to Proposal B before it even gets voted on at lunchtime on Saturday. So the counties who've given a free vote so far, you're looking at Laois, Waterford. Waterford had their meeting last night and they were empowered, their delegates, by the clubs to have a free vote for this weekend so they can decide on whatever is put forward on Saturday lunchtime. You've got Limerick, who are also giving a free vote as things stand, and Kerry. And then the significant counties that went green overnight, Cork, who you mentioned, Clare had their county board meeting and they officially rubber-stamped the thinking of their management committee. Tipperary's 5 votes, which is significant with the amount of delegates that they have, they've gone green. Wexford this morning announcing that last night they made the decision that they're going to be supporting Proposal B. You've then got a raft of Midlands counties, really Longford, Westmeath and Offaly. We already knew about the Westmeath and Offaly positions from last week. Both Meath and Kildare opting for Proposal B. Louth, who had already declared their support for it. Down, which is the significant one that we perhaps weren't expecting to be pro-Proposal B. And then you've got Sligo, who also are intending to vote for Proposal B. It leaves a lot of counties still undecided. And I think there's a lot of suspicion, at least when it comes to some of the Connacht counties and Ulster counties, that they will turn red and there'll be no votes for this weekend. But with 3 days to go, it looks pretty wide open at the moment.
The open vote and leaving it up to Saturday, the reason behind that, Will, I presume, is either there is still an acceptance that they might vote for Proposal A, or like that's one reason for this. The second one is that their vote is dependent on the tweaks that come to Proposal B. So is there any other reason why they would leave an open vote, do you think? Because to me, that's the only reason why you could make that argument.
I think it's more likely to be the latter reason, in that they're waiting to see what the amendments are going to be ahead of this weekend, because I spoke to a couple of Laois players on the back of Laois's declaration from Monday night's meeting that they would be giving their delegates a free vote, but that they were tending towards voting yes. And the Laois players had handed a pretty strong mandate to the county board, and you know, the county board had said they're going to listen to their players, but they want to see exactly what they'd be voting on. It seems from the reports coming out of the Waterford meeting last night, it's also a similar position, where they're trending towards voting yes, but they want to see what's actually there before they vote, and their delegates will be allowed to make a decision on the day. Kerry, a bit more of a poker face position, based on the comments that came out of their county board meeting, where they're genuinely, their delegates are going to wait and they're going to vote based on what's put before them. Similarly, we get the feeling that Limerick are tending towards voting in favour of Proposal B, but again, they're going to be allowed to free vote on it. And the caveat that comes with all this, and every single delegate that goes to Congress this weekend, is that you know, the CPA attempted a few years ago to get transparency around where votes actually go when the vote takes place. But we have no idea if when the buttons are pressed, who has voted where. Like, people may well be mandated to go and vote, but a delegate, even who has been whipped by their county to vote in a certain way, may not actually vote in the way that they're told to do so.
They should bring that motion to Congress every year and see does it ever get below 86% of rejection.
It seems unlikely that that vote would take place. It was so strongly rejected at the time back in, I think it was 2018 Congress when that happened. So Congress is a weird thing, guys. Having been there a few times as a delegate, the lobbying takes place even between sessions. When you go out for lunch, counties will meet
and talk about
how they're going to vote.
Back up the truck. Having been there as a delegate.
Yeah, only ever as an underage delegate, but I did two congresses and a special congress as an off-leaf delegate.
Hang on a second. Well, you've kept this completely buried forever. What? So what does an underage delegate mean?
Someone that's not 60.
Yeah, exactly. You go along and look, back then, at least for a full congress, you always had an underage delegate. I believe there's a slight change in the amount of delegates that are attending for this special congress. I think some counties are going to have 5 and some are going to have 3. It was an interesting experience, guys.
Offaly have 3. Michael Dagnan told us last week Offaly will have 3 this time. When you were there, how many did they have?
We had 5, I think. There was 4 from the County Board Executive, and then I was the underage delegate on as well. You had full voting rights while you were there.
Well, that's what I'm going to ask. Yeah, okay. So you were pressing your little button.
There you go. I think
that came out wrong.
The first year I was there, was Rule 42, which in the end got pushed back to the year afterwards. And then we had a special Congress, which had changes around the playing rules. And then we had 42 being adopted the next year on the second year when I was an underage delegate. So, it's intriguing. I mean, maybe with COVID, things are slightly different. And with a special Congress, everyone just kind of arrives into Dublin on the day. And it's different to the Congress itself, where it's like a 3-day event where people go down on the Friday. But genuinely, there are conversations taking place between chairpersons in the hallways over a pint, deciding on how they're going to vote, any amendments that may take place beforehand. People discuss who's going to go up and speak, who's going to propose changes that may be made to motions on the day as well. It's GA politics. You were saying earlier, you're trying to make kind of politics a bit sharp and sexy. This is exactly what happens. And I'm sure there are conversations taking place. Like, we focused on the Ulster meeting that was in Armagh last evening, but I am sure over the last couple of weeks that provincial councils have been meeting with county board officials to discuss voting intentions and what's going to happen around some of the emotions this weekend.
Yeah, and you can see that the provincial councils are so embedded within the nuts and bolts of the GAA that their viewpoint is coming through in almost all of the newspapers. So it's clear that there have been conversations being had from the provincial council's perspective to put their view forward about what the issues are. And that is deeply ingrained in how the story has been reported from the start. And we've obviously offered all of the provincial councils the opportunity to come on and have a platform. We spoke this week with Leinster. We had Ulster on before. We haven't had any response from Connacht, but the opportunity for John Pretty to come on and talk to us is still there for us. And we would obviously offer Mr. Letty from Munster the same opportunity as well. But anyway, look, it's heading to squeaky bum time now. We're still waiting for word from a few counties: Galway, Roscommon, Cavan, Donegal and Monaghan.
Yeah, I think our producer Tommy Rooney has been firing off text messages around the country this morning to try and get what that decision may well be for some of those counties that we tick down to, 72 hours or so to go before the vote. And so far, we've kind of been conservative enough in the mapping that we've done ahead of this, where anything that I've put down as green or blue on the graphic that I put together was based on what was endorsed at a management meeting this week. Because in some cases, say there's been discussion that a county is going to vote in a certain way and then they hadn't held their county board meeting until this week. I think until you've got that very firm mandate which has been handed to their delegates, we're still in the realm of speculation. But based on the amount of counties where we've not had a firm decision just yet, it's intriguing to see where some of them are going to go. And you've got to remember that the provincial councils, central council, the overseas boards, various other committees that have votes at this upcoming special congress, they will also count. So just because it looks like there's a lot of green that's on the board currently with county board delegates who are going to go, that doesn't tell the full story. And ultimately, it's about getting to a 60% mandate if any of the proposals to be passed this weekend. So it's not 50-50. 60 is a big ask.
And the players' vote, obviously. What number of delegates to the players, the 80% of players who voted for this in favour of the GPA, how much weight do those votes carry, Will?
Well, I think ultimately the GPA have the equivalent of one county, I think, with delegates that go for this weekend. We need to double check 100% how many votes
John's
they're actually going
two
to
counties.
Have.
John's got the two fingers up.
It's two counties. So it's still
a very small
percentage.
Two votes.
Yeah, so that's an incredibly small percentage. Now, the players are going to have an influence, and you know the GPA have been lobbying particularly hard over the last couple of weeks to try and convince as many county board delegates to vote for Proposal B as possible. But in, whatever about the soft power that's available from there, their actual vote is extremely low.
It's remarkable that the players have two votes in this. The entire constituency is what, 180, John?
183. And Will, you've got your Irish map and your John King. It looks fantastic and everything. But I suppose you almost need a world map for this, because there are other elements of the association. 19% of the association have votes. Hertfordshire have a vote. London have a vote. Warwickshire have a vote. Gloucestershire have a vote. Lancashire have a vote. Yorkshire have a vote. Scotland have a vote. Europe have a vote. New York have a vote. The USGAA have a vote. Canada have a vote. Australasia have a vote. Asia have a vote. The Middle East have a vote. On the football championship.
I guess at some level it makes sense to have a broad coalition voting on most of the things that matter. But given
the votes are the same from a lot of these areas as the counties that are participating in the championship and will be affected by the championship.
They're all way more important combined than the players' voice. Like, I don't know how many you listed off there. Was it
a lot of shares?
Of 183 votes, 34 of them are from overseas, 19%. 52 votes from Central Council. That is
17 times more important than the voice of the players.
So 47% of the vote is either Central Council or overseas. I got a WhatsApp from somebody who's the PRO of an overseas a body that has votes in this on Saturday. And there was very little real discussion on it. We'll know tomorrow on the vote. And this is from an overseas body that has a few votes on Saturday.
A few votes. So some of them have a few votes. Right. That's interesting. And they'll know tomorrow because they're going to be told by... So we should stress that actually
I would say that in some of these bodies, often there's a very dominant figure in the body.
Well, I was going to ask. So today at noon, there will be a briefing.
Mm-hmm. Tom and Larry.
Okay. So the Director General and the President of the GAA are going to give a briefing, and... this is a on the record opportunity for everybody to ask questions about where their view on this matter lies or rests, and also what amendments they might be tabling to this before it goes to the vote at the weekend.
Yeah.
Is that what the overseas bodies are waiting for? The nod from Croke Park to say, yeah, this or no? Is that what we think?
I don't know that. I would say that overseas bodies, by their nature and framework and construct, are very close to Croke Park, because what is an overseas body there for? It's to promote Gaelic games overseas and to spread the gospel of the Gaelic language to people around the world that don't know about Gaelic games, but also to Irish people that need to get into communities abroad. So from my chats over the years with people from various county boards, they have a very close relationship with Croke Park, as they should. So therefore, I do think that whatever the Central Council vibe will be, will be very much in line with what the overseas people do.
OK, so just to give us that again. So 19% of the 183 will be overseas.
Yes.
How many do the 32 counties of Ireland have?
I'll just do the math here. So
give us everybody else, and we'll by the elimination game we'll get there.
Yeah, no, I have it here. I have it here in just a second now. So 34 plus 52 plus 7. So
7 is the ex-presidents.
Yeah, 186 minus 183 minus 93. Math was never my strong point.
I thought you were beating the bookies with your...
Yeah, but like when you're beating the bookies, you do like pen and paper. I'm doing this off this phone calculator. Less than half. Less than half is the counties. 90 out of 183 is the counties.
Okay.
In reality, the player's voice should be represented through those counties. That should be how this thing works, that they are mandated, sure, by the county board, but there should be a significant player's voice within those county boards who are mandating the delegates as well. Of course, that's not what's going to happen, and a lot of the players' voices are going to get ignored.
All right. Will, is there anything else? I mean, this has been a remarkable morning where we've learned that you've been an attendee at some of the most interesting of all of the congresses as a voting delegate. But notwithstanding that, the news is that we now have coast-to-coast support from Cork to Down. There's a clear seam up through the middle of the country that is turning green this morning. We're waiting for Ulster says no to start flashing red at the top, and maybe there's a bit of red and maybe there's a bit of green in Mayo, ironically enough. We'll wait and see, and maybe they won't vote as a bloc. But is there anything else you think we need to know from the numbers or what we're waiting for?
Yeah, well, look, they've completed blockbusters by going coast to coast with the green line that's going across the country currently. It's perhaps significant that I think is that Kildare are the only current Division 1 county who have declared that their 4 proposal be at this stage. There's a lot of Division 2, 3, a couple of 4s there who are going towards green as well. Like, you have such a Division 1 power base, which is across Ulster and then back across to Mayo at the tip of Connacht there as well. So they're kind of the intriguing ones. I'm wondering where Dublin are going to go. Like, you had Declan Darcy on yesterday, who was, you know, a member of 5 All-Ireland winning teams as a coach, and, you know, previously had played for Leitrim too, and he gave a fairly strong indication that, you know, Dublin would be interested in voting yes towards Proposal B. And Brian Howard's comments in the media this week as well indicated they might go that way. We're waiting for a few more Leinster counties to come in, but it seems that Leinster and a lot of the Leinster teams are playing in lower division 2, 3, 4 are going to vote towards yes, and then the red line is likely to be west of the Shannon and then north of Leinster. But down, I still think, lads, is a very significant switch towards yes, but you would imagine that if yes is going to win, almost all of those Leinster counties would have to turn green, and the rest of Connacht and maybe even Mayo would have to flip. And like, when you look at the comments which are coming out of Mayo, that seems fairly unlikely. My personal read on this, as we're here on Wednesday morning, is that Proposal B will probably be defeated. Proposal A will probably never go to a vote. And a lot of the ideas around a league-based championship and maybe divorcing the provincials from the All-Ireland Championship will be factored in when it comes to championship reform from the 2022 season on. I think we'll probably end up with the status quo for next year.
Yeah.
And either by way of some kind of amendment or what John Horne has suggested, a trial run over a 2 or 3 year period but postponed for next year, that a lot of these ideas will probably be factored into whatever we see for championship, say, 23 to 26.
I don't know. I think the league-based championship, this is our one chance to get it through. The breaking of the link with the provincial is now or never, and if the provincials win this, we're going to end up with the provincial round robin. That's my prediction. If Plan B doesn't happen this week, you're going to end up with a provincial round robin, which is, as I said on the show, officially a pig's mickey yesterday. Well, good stuff. Cavan, we're hearing, have a management meeting tomorrow night to discuss, same as Wicklow. The word is Roscommon are blue and they might have a free vote, but nothing official on that yet, so we're going to keep a close eye on this, and obviously we'll be bringing you the news of it on Saturday afternoon. John, anything else?
Not really, just apart from the sports news last night that Liverpool won 3-2 against Atletico, which was a breathless game. Man City won 5-1 in Belgium against Brugge. United and Solskjaer, huge game for them tonight against Atalanta in the Champions League, with Chelsea against Malmo. It's really about this vote. Central Council's makeup is interesting for me. The 52 votes and the kind of the vibe and the temperature of that is definitely going to be probably the decisive factor, I think, in this vote on Saturday. But
that's where the provincial council's power base is.
I would agree with you that I would find nothing more depressing than a provincial round robin in football going forward, and their province is getting more power and having these competitions that have no life and no imagination. It would just be really a slap in the face to go from potentially having this, just being very, very close to this happening, to having provincial round robins. Like, you just turn off the telly until August. Actually, by the time you get to August, the club season will be underway.
The provincial council power base lies there in terms of direct votes, but we also need to remember that the provincial councils have power in every single county around Ireland, whether it's the hand on the coffers or whether it's the county board people who want to progress onto provincial council level and are playing the political game themselves. So that is a huge knock-on impact from the soft power, I guess, from the provincial councils as opposed to their direct votes.